Good morning. Good to see all the brothers and sisters here this morning. Welcome. Welcome to everyone. Good to see the young ladies in the front row. Okay, so I'd given an introduction to the book of 1 Corinthians a while back. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. You can turn there, 1 Corinthians 1. But there was a few, I'm just looking at the Sunday school book. There was some, and it shows you how good I studied the Sunday school lesson. Joseph, where are you? I was studying yesterday, but it wasn't the Sunday school lesson. And when I opened my book, it's 14:7. Opened my book, called to be children of light out of Thessalonians, and I looked at the different headings, and the one was, called to be sanctified. And yesterday I had decided I was going to take my title out of verse 2 where it says called to be saints. So I thought, wow, apparently we need this, called to be children of light, called to be sanctified. Now I'm talking about called to be saints. So that's the title out of 1 Corinthians. And let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for this portion of your word we could read and study and receive wisdom, direction, understanding for our lives. Pray that you would be with me as I speak and give me clearness of mind and be with everyone that's in the audience today. Prepare our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us today, in Jesus' name, amen. So, we've probably all asked already, I wonder, you know, what is God's calling? We hear that term sometimes, what is God's calling on my life, or what's God's calling for me, or what's his purpose? We probably asked ourselves that. So, as you open your Bibles, as I read down through the whole chapter, and we won't get to cover the whole chapter because I just did not get that far. But the word called or calling appears 6 times in this chapter. So it is a theme. And then as I was studying, I noticed different times when we read there the end of our lesson, faithful is he that calleth you. This term appears quite often in the New Testament and the Old Testament as far as that goes, but in the Bible. But God's call, so what I want to consider, you call it point number one, God's call. And as Paul opens this letter, he says he is called to be an apostle. So just think back to the story of Acts, where God, and it's literally in red letters in your Bible, he called down from heaven to Paul. And I tend to think it was an audible voice. Now, I don't know if the people that were with Paul, or we'll call him Saul at this time, could hear this voice or not. We don't know that. But it was, nonetheless, it was God's call to Saul at this time. And he was on this road to Damascus with the intent to persecute the believers and bring them to in front of the court, or basically to persecute them. I should have read the story a little better, but he was persecuting the saints of God. He saw a bright light from heaven and God called to him. So now skipping farther down to the story, I want to remind you of the conversation between Ananias and God. So when God spoke to Ananias and said, you know, after Paul was, God called to Paul, he was blind. And he told Ananias, go lay your hands on Saul and pray that he would receive his sight. And Ananias was pretty hesitant to do this. He said, you know, remind God. God, I want to remind you. He didn't say it in those words, but basically what this man is doing to the saints at Jerusalem, how much evil he has done. And he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And this is what Ananias said to God when God asked him to go. And that's why he was hesitant. This man was, Saul was known to be pretty zealous for what he thought was the Lord. And then the words of God to Ananias, and here's why I'm bringing this back. He said, God said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So that was God's call to Paul. That was his mission for Paul, to carry his name, God's name, before the Gentiles. So Paul, if we see in our text, I'll read verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. So already mentioned what Paul's mission was, and it was the will of God to him. And he starts many of his letters out with this claim to apostleship. And it was interesting to me. In my mind, I always thought of an apostle as one who has seen Jesus, walked with him, and physically walked with him and was called by God. Now, I think Paul was called by God. We just looked at that. He didn't physically walk with Christ as the other disciples. But that, in my mind, was what an apostle was. So I'm just looking at that. I looked up the word apostle, called to be an apostle through the will of God. Apostle is a messenger. That's just a short way of thinking about it. A messenger, one sent on a mission. Someone sent. So if you think back to what God said to Ananias about Paul, that's exactly the description. Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. So Paul's claim to being an apostle, if you believe the Bible, was indeed a true claim. He was called by God, and God said, this is the man that I have chosen. He is my messenger, which is what an apostle is. So maybe a little tweaking in my mind of the definition of apostle. And then I thought of the verse, and I believe it's Ephesians, and he gave some, speaking of the body of Christ, he gave some, what's the first one that he says? He gave some, what? Apostles. And so I don't know if we have anyone in this church who claims to be an apostle. You know, I don't know. It's in my mind. I think it's a little, when someone claims to be an apostle, then all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you're not an apostle. There was 12 of them, you know, and Paul, Judas, no longer I'm getting my disciples and my apostles mixed up. 12 disciples, and in my mind, when Judas when Judas betrayed Jesus and did what he did, then Paul kind of steps into that place as being one of the 12. But we know they did choose someone else later. But he gave some apostles and some prophets. And maybe it's because that term's, you know, we see strange things happening in the name of, you know, I'm an apostle of God and I have the authority to say this, and it's something strange, and then we just push it all away and say, well, no, you can't be an apostle of God, but a messenger. So he says in Ephesians, he gave some apostles for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Okay, so Paul's an apostle. If we believe the Bible, we believe he truly was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he does try to clear that up with a lot of his I believe it's in Galatians, when I studied Galatians, he really goes over this, why he is truly an apostle. And so, okay, we looked at God's call to Paul. Now we're going to look at verse 2. Read verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So I want to point out, Paul was called by the will of God. Secondly, this letter was written unto the church at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And then if you keep looking, he includes, with all, they're called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So he essentially includes you and I. If we believe, if we have called upon the name of the Lord, he includes you and I in this verse here in verse 2. So the letter is written to the church at Corinth. It's also written to you and I. Do you believe this? If you are those that in every place call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so at the beginning of this book, I also want to define a few words that we kind of use. And I believe James Hostetler got into this a little bit in our Sunday school class. I believe it was last week. But we have the word sanctified here. But we use these words, and just like the word apostle, when I went back and looked it up, it kind of tweaked my mind a little bit in the way that I think about it. And so I want to make sure that I, and secondly you, I as someone standing up here teaching the word, have the proper understanding of what the word means. So sanctified, and I believe it was stated last Sunday, means set apart. Sanctified means to make holy, to consecrate, to set apart as holy. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament, I didn't go into it much, but my mind went there. How many times it says in the Old Testament, God says, you are my chosen people, and there he uses the word set apart, and I'm going to set you apart for this special purpose. You are chosen, you are set apart. It's quite often. And so think that. Now, what's interesting about this word or this term is that there's a past, a present, and a future aspect of it. And so in our text today, we have to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And later in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6, he's talking about some sins that they were involved in, and he says, such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified and you are justified. So that's currently. You are. Currently, this is your state. But then there's a verse in Hebrews 10. I'll read it. If you want to turn there, you can. It's Hebrews 10, verse 10. It's just one verse. You can listen as well. Hebrews 10, verse 10. And this is speaking about the sacrifice of Jesus versus, we know Hebrews is talking about, you know, they earlier in the chapter is talking about the bulls and the goats, and they would just keep sacrificing. This sacrifice of Jesus, he says in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified. I don't know if I should jump in like that. I'll go to verse 8, verse 7. And then he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, once for all. And now this is the King James, and I don't have any other version up here. I'm going to say it's probably ESV. It says, by the will of God, we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And that does not mean sanctified once for all. That means the sacrifice of Jesus was once for all. Just clear that up. But if you read numerous places in the Bible, it gives the idea when you believe, or when you call upon the name of the Lord, when you believe, get saved, like we say sometimes, we are then, I'll call that our initial sanctification. We are then set apart for a special purpose. So that's, we have been sanctified. And Paul's reminding them, you have been sanctified here. And I'll flip back to Corinthians. We are now set apart. We have been made holy, which is another definition of that word, sanctify. We had been made holy through the offering of the body of Christ. But does it stop there? Is that it? No, I'll give you quite a few other verses. I'll just go down through it here rather quickly. There are many verses that speak of future sanctification. So, example, John 17, Jesus' prayer for the believers says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So he's praying for believers, for future believers, praying that they will be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians, and this was in our Sunday school lesson, we didn't quite get to it. May the God of peace sanctify you completely. 2 Corinthians, he says, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion. There it is again, holiness to completion in the fear of God. Peter, 1 Peter, that by it, speaking of the spiritual, I think he calls it the spiritual milk, by it you may grow up into salvation. 2 Timothy, if anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. So, are you convinced that sanctification, it's when we believe, we are set apart. A certain element of sanctification has happened. We are currently sanctified. We will be. We can move on to completion. Two different verses it said moving. We will be completely sanctified. It's an ongoing process. It happened initially that we were set apart, but it's an ongoing process. So it's God's will for you and me to be holy. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? It's God's will for me and you, for you and I to be holy. 1 Thessalonians again, for this is the will of God. What? Even your sanctification. It's the will of God. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. It's God's will for us to be holy. And so in verse 2, we are called to be saints. Now, I'm going to ask you, are you a saint? Are you a saint? Think about that. Now, for some reason, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable because we, maybe we're a little like the Catholics. I think they wait till someone has died to actually call them a saint. Is that right? I think that's how it is. They have to go through this process that they nominate so-and-so to be a saint after they're dead for so many years. And then finally they're approved or canonized or something. And then they're finally recognized as a saint. Well, here in this passage, we're called to be saints while we're alive. And so you think, me, a saint? You know, maybe Mother Teresa, or, you know, you think of someone that really has done a lot of just selfless act, and you think, yeah, that person, in our minds, we go, that person's pretty close to a saint, you know, it's pretty up there. But we are all, we're sanctified, we're called to be saints. And we may think this, well, you should have saw me last week, you know, we might say, or we might think back to something we went through, and we think, well, we're called to be saints, and I know myself, you know. That's kind of how our minds go. It does not change the fact that you and I, as sanctified believers, are called to be saints. Paul does it often. To the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. To the saints gathered in Cessna, Pennsylvania. Believe that. Now there's, and I got a little stuck on this idea. And so my mind went a little bit. Why does that make us uncomfortable? If it does. And I already described one. And another one might be we think, well, that's too arrogant. That's a little arrogant to say that. And so I thought of I don't know if I want to call it the alternative. I thought of a phrase. And at first, you know, this phrase is in my mind. And at first I thought, you know, is this in the Bible? This phrase? And you're going to recognize it. It is, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Is that in the Bible? And now maybe you're going to disagree with me a little. I wouldn't mind some feedback, but and I'm not trying to slap Bill Gaither at all. You know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. A lot of you probably know that song. I'm really not. But is that statement theologically sound? Okay. Okay, somebody wants to stick their neck out. Okay, I'll give you my perspective. Okay, how about this? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinners, yeah, we agree. For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, put them together. This is what Bill did, apparently. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We are saved by faith through grace. But when you put them together, this phrase, and that's how much I thought, now is this actually a verse? I didn't think it was, but I just had to question myself a little. You put them together and you don't have a phrase. And I'm not saying the phrase has to be found in the Bible to be true. You have a phrase that's maybe not, what I would say is not, it's not accurate of a person that's redeemed. Or that's, how can I word this? It's a person that's regenerated by the power of Christ. This statement, a more accurate version of this was, I was a sinner, I am now saved by grace. Because I'll tell you the problem I have with it. Well, first of all, when God sees his redeemed possession, how does he describe it? How does he describe his redeemed possession in this book? Have you ever thought of that? What is the description that he gives? And we had one in our Sunday school lesson right here. And it is in the title, called to be children of light. Okay? For the most part, it's things like this. And I'm not saying God never calls. I'd actually have to look on this. Does God ever call someone that's redeemed, regenerated, a sinner? Now, Paul did say this, God came to save sinners of whom I am chief. What about that one? And I would probably maintain that Paul is speaking about his former life. For the most part, I won't get too dogmatic, but for the most part, God describes his redeemed possession of terms like this, children of light, sons of light, the new man, saints, a new creation. And so this is who we are in Christ, and I don't think that's arrogant. I think we could be arrogant. I mean, we have the potential to be arrogant about it, but I think that we need to recognize who we are in Christ. And there's a quote by Adrian Rogers, and this is not in the Bible too. Just, you know, I said the saying a sinner saved by grace is not in the Bible. This isn't either, but this quote's kind of fascinating to me. It says this, the me I see is the me I'll be. So think about that a while. The me I see is the me I'll be. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a sinner? And I think, I'm not taking away that there's a time in our life where we need to see ourselves as wretched sinners. But once we're redeemed, regenerated, you know, you might say to me, well, come on now, at least I'm honest, at least I know I'm a sinner, and you won't even admit it. But how does God, and like I said, there's a place for acknowledging that, but you are a believer now, you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a, say it, a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, you know, there's a couple reasons, as I thought about this, why we like this, why we would way rather say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, than why we would say, why we would identify with the saints. We all hear all this terms about identifying as this and that. I won't get into that. But number one is, it sounds really humble, don't it? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It sounds really humble. Secondly, it gives us a little more wiggle room, because what do sinners do? They sin. And so you sin and you just say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So what you see, what's the quote I said? How I see, oh, now I don't know, I remember my, I have it written down, but I don't remember it. The me I see is the me I'll be. And maybe I'm beating this a little hard, but I believe it's something we need to recognize and understand. And then you might say to me, well, Joe, don't you believe, or what do you think? Believers don't sin? They never sin? No. Believers struggle. Believers sin. We have in this church, by the way, where this letter was written, they were fairly messed up, I believe I can say. And saints occasionally stumble. Saints occasionally sin. John says, I'm writing these things to you so you do not sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So I think we're out of balance. I think we need to recognize who does God say we are in him, in this book? Who does he say we are? I think it's a little more accurate to say we are saints that occasionally stumble and occasionally sin. But as it says, I believe it's in the book of 1 John, it's not the norm. It's not habitual. It's not the norm to be living in sin if you're a Christian. But do saints occasionally find themselves involved in sin? Yes, I'm not saying they don't. Okay, we spent a good bit of time there. Just wanted to bring that out. Paul says we are sanctified, we are made holy in Christ Jesus, and we are called to be saints. Move on, verse 3. Grace and peace. Maybe I'll read down through a couple verses at a time, make a few comments. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Okay, to have peace with God, you need to truly experience the grace of God in your life. You know, Paul writes this all the time, grace and peace, grace and peace. The world wants peace. People want to be at peace, but you can't be at peace without experiencing the grace of God in your life. Grace and peace, they go together, always in that order. And that's the way Paul writes them in many of his letters. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Basically saying they were experiencing, this messed up church was experiencing the grace of God. He was extending his grace to them and to you and I today. If we view ourselves as messed up, there's hope for us. Verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. And this is what God will do for you when you are in him. That in everything you are enriched by him. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Again, verifying they did experience the grace of God. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they had And this is, as you read through this book, they had a variety of spiritual gifts. They had the scope of spiritual gifts at the church in Corinth. But later we will see they were abusing these spiritual gifts. But here, Paul was complimenting them. You come behind in no gift. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God will sustain you. I believe it says in the ESV, it says here, confirm you. God will sustain you to the end. And we had this phrase, the day of our Lord, in our lesson here today, in this passage in, the day of the Lord cometh. And that's basically the day when, the judgment day, or the day when the Lord Jesus comes back is referred to as the day of the Lord. So here it says, we want to be found blameless in the day of the Lord. And actually, I believe it says blameless in our lesson here in Thessalonians. Yeah, verse 23, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying the same thing. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who called you, we're speaking about calling. God's call to Paul, God's call to the church at Corinth, and then God's call to you and I today. The one who called you is faithful, and he called you into fellowship or communion with his Son. And then that's kind of the first 9 verses are the greeting, I guess you could say. And then verse 10, he begins to address some problems that were in the church. There were some divisions happening in the church at Corinth. Some contention, I believe it says. Imagine that. And I believe we're just going to stop there. We're not going to get in. I think we'll just take here these first 9 verses, and then later we'll look at maybe 10 to the end of the chapter and look at the division, the contention, and go to the end of the chapter where he talks about the wisdom of God. And so I believe we'll close with that. But think about this. If you believe God and what he says about you as a sanctified believer in Christ, if you believe him, it's a very encouraging, a very hopeful picture. And so how do you view yourself in Christ? Do you say, well, I'm just a sinner? Remember, the me I see is the me I'll be. Do you see yourself as a sanctified person in Christ, called to be a saint? And it says in Colossians, and ye are complete in him. And now I think when we think about this, we always think about ourselves. Oh, I know myself. I see myself. We need to think about who we are in him, in Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So he called us to be saints, and faithful is he that calleth you. So, I don't know if you agree with that, or you still think, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I believe we're going to close there. Does anyone have anything that they would like to say here before we close? Give you that opportunity. Make your case.